Bodhisattva. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Pratipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, solicitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith. In the practice of constant devotion. In the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am lord of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
Shall we look at this morning?
Well, last year it occurred to me to create cards to sell at the end of the New Year's retreat event at the AFCO program. Mm-hmm. And this year it was very successful. It was very fun. It's what I spend all of my time doing. And last year I shared them in group, and I brought some. I expanded my repertoire. Last year they were all feathers, and that was fun.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought, if it's okay, I'll pass a couple of them around.
Oh, so you have more in there?
I have more.
Oh, wow. So let me just reflect. So, so last year you made these beautiful watercolor, I think?
Yeah.
Local birds in the monastery, feathers on greeting cards. And
birds are too hard. Feathers are easy.
Feathers are easy. No, they're beautiful, whatever. And it benefited the African Vulnerable Children Project, and you're doing it again?
Yeah.
Or you have done it again? You have them here. Oh, they're here.
So, yeah. So this is... I wanted to see if I could paint the water lilies.
The water lilies.
Uh-huh. And so I've done, I don't need to pass them all around, but I might as well.
And you're going to take them to the New Year's retreat?
You're going to take them to the New Year's retreat.
And again, the benefiting Africa again?
Yes.
Wow. And they said, if I'm not mistaken, they sold it out really quickly.
I did 40, I sold 38.
Oh, okay. I think somebody must have snatched
two. No one wanted to do the buzzards.
No, I like buzzards. The buzzard feathers didn't go well. Going to the New Year's retreat, be prepared to fall in love with these. Oh, wow.
Bring your money.
What was that?
Bring your money.
Yeah, bring your money. Checks are accepted, I guess. Thank you. These are lovely. Gosh.
It's really fun. It every time I do, when I learn a little bit more about painting and maybe it'll help us.
It's a win-win. You get to have fun, you get to learn more about painting, and not only does Sanka benefit, and whoever gets it receives these cards, but the Africa, it's just a win all the way around. Wow. Is there more you want to say about the process? Or
just as with last year, this, the voice in my head, thank you. Says, don't do this. Don't take him down there. You're just showing off.
You're just trying to spread a little love, for God's sake. Wow, but you did.
Last night I was listening to some of the radio shows and recording them, the morning radio show, because I was doing something during the show. And I just was really appreciating that resource exists. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I don't listen to it directly because I'm doing something else, and my experience with folks these days who are not happy with the election results is, I think, a sense of I don't know where to turn, you know, a sense of being kind of adrift. And I'm not, I mean, maybe there are, but I'm not aware of other daily resources like that. I mean, it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
And so I was feeling tremendous gratitude. And I was also feeling gratitude for, you know, for those of us who feel like the world just turned upside down. Mm-hmm. It's so helpful to hear Sherry say nothing has changed. Uh-huh. You know, it's just that you're on the bottom side now. Uh-huh. it's always been thus, and a reminder that when things are going the way we like them, mm-hmm. we think the world's pretty good, and things are kind of the way God intended. Uh-huh. And then when they flip, we think something's gone terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And so it's helpful to be reminded of that this is an avenue to compassion, yeah. not just a reason for despair and opposition.
Yeah.
And at the same time, to realize that no one is saying, don't take steps that feel right to you. It's very like, I love you exactly the way you are, and I'll do whatever I can that help you be whatever you want to be. It's like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like total acceptance and, but it's not stasis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And as you point out, is that acceptance and take whatever steps you feel called to take
right.
is being modeled in the very offering
right.
of the 9 a.m. radio show.
Good point,
right?
yeah.
And so to have that daily support, that daily modeling, that daily remembering mm-hmm. that nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. We are now perhaps in a different position. Our perspective has maybe changed drastically.
Right.
But that doesn't mean anything is wrong. That doesn't mean that God was doing anything wrong. Now something terrible has happened and you know we're mm-hmm. outside of God's will, whatever. It doesn't mean any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take whatever action feels compassionate, kind, mm-hmm. coming from the heart, all of that we're encouraged to do.
Yeah, and actually more encouraged to come from the heart because of that support.
Yeah.
You know, if we're just, we had dinner the other night with a friend who called and said, I gotta have dinner with you. And, you know, she opened the dinner by saying, oh my God, I just feel this whole situation is just killing me, you know. And so we did do a certain amount of moaning and groaning, but it was, you know, when you just feel submerged or like hopeless, then it tends to be either paralyzing or where you're coming from is not feeling heartened. And so having that kind of support we have it allows us to come from the best place in ourselves.
Yeah.
And to move. I mean, to know that there's movement. And what just arose for me was, I remember years ago when I, 10 years ago as a matter of fact, when I went through a very difficult year, and I was not going to go to the bridge walk because I couldn't imagine facing people. And I was talking to Sherry on the phone, and I said, well, you know, if I'm there, I'm just going to be stuck, and what am I going to do? And she said, oh, I think there are all kinds of options. And, you know, in that moment, in my perspective, there were no options. And so when we're supported like that, that's when we see options. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise we just see a tunnel. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a tremendous, yet another tremendous offering from practice.
Yeah, that's so important what you just said. When we're stuck, we feel no options, mm-hmm. like we're just facing a dead, like a tunnel, mm-hmm. with just a dead end at the end of the tunnel, right? Nothing. And then when we're supported and in that place of compassion, you know, then there are all kinds of options.
Yeah.
And you got that. You heard that 10 years ago. You're feeling that now. I project you were offering that to your friend. Oh, my God, I have to have dinner with you. You know, mm-hmm. being that and living that.
Yeah. And the other thing, that, as you reflect that, is that from a place of feeling just despair or hopeless or angry, very angry, the actions we might take might just simply be a kind of lashing out. Mm-hmm. And that's not helpful either.
Yeah, boy, good point. So when you're in that no options place or anger, dead end, mm-hmm. world's gone wrong, that yields one kind of action.
Right.
The supportive, all kinds of options coming from the heart, that yields a very different kind of action.
Right.
Yeah. So where we are is the utmost importance.
Yeah, it is.
Where we are coming from. Where are we in the dark room or the light room?
Right.
You know, which is why, you know, we often say around here, the most radical thing we can do with our lives is to wake up and then suffer. Mm-hmm. That's the most radical action.
Right. Thank you.
So I've been looking at the process of being right and judgmental. Mm-hmm. And it would arise while I was sitting today. So it must be what's going on. And I must sort of be right and judgmental and just sort of live out of that a lot without even noticing it's there, I think. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like skin. I mean, it's not right and judgmental about bad things. Right and judgmental about good things.
Because you catch on to that right and judgmental about bad
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
But right. This way it can kind of be your skin.
Yes. So it could even be, you know, people should all listen to that radio show.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. it kind of goes into that process takes it, whatever the content is. So, it's just, anyway, and it separates me, that's all. I mean, I was just watching that when it's going on, rather than that practicing unconditional love, what I notice about unconditional love is it doesn't have an agenda. I might have an agenda going on, and I move to unconditional love, and it doesn't even seem to have an agenda about my having an agenda.
Right? Yeah, that's that unconditional part.
Yeah, that's that unconditional part. And so, this is it. You know, it just swoops in and takes over, and then I just have to almost breathe through it, like that process. It's kind of constant, I think. It's right now.
Interesting.
It has an opinion about stuff.
So
which is different than what was talked about kind of doing whatever arises next, which is often just the dishes for me. Just look at what's here. Okay, here's the dishes.
Yeah.
Somebody's sick. You know, give them a hug. You know, this needs to be attended to. Mm-hmm. The cat needs the medicine. Or what, you know, that often what my ego wants to do is read and espouse and philosophize, and but I actually today in this day don't have a lot of time for that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it just has opinions about everything, what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing, what others should be doing, what others shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. when I'm identified with it, there's often the rolling of the eyes and the people just grow up. And then, you know, there I am, identified, kept separate from people.
So let me see if I'm with you, because you laid out the process really clearly. So it sounds like what you want to do is just have your life and live your life. Get the cat meds and take care of the child. Do the dishes, whatever. You know that experience of just showing up for life. It's your life. That's where, you know, that's what the heart really wants, is to be present for that. And what the karmic pattern that is played out is to have opinions and be right and philosophize and get up on the soapbox and just really kind of know how everything should go. And when that's going on, and when the attention gets pulled there instead of just the dishes, so instead of here, it goes here, then there's a separation, it feels like, between what your hands, where your hands actually are, what's actually happening, and where your attention, where your life is, really, because it's right there in conditioned mind in that moment. And you're just seeing that it feels so much like you, that actually you're seeing that it's not, that it's conditioning.
I mean, you know, it starts subtly, like maybe I'm doing the dishes, and, you know, why doesn't anybody else do the dishes?
Yeah.
Can't they just rinse their... Oh, now I'm not doing it quite right because I didn't quite... You know, it starts that way.
The conversation.
You know, that dissatisfaction and opinions and right and wrong and judgmental. And,
yeah.
Rather than, oh, wow, it feels nice, this warm water. You know, not even... But that could be a slip out, too. But there is kind of a, you know, the experience of, you know, really scrubbing and getting something clean. And,
yeah.
Putting it in the, you know, it's just so, but the other one feels very familiar and very like me, which is what I was sort of noticing, the quality, dissatisfied.
Yeah. Well, as you point out, it can be even a big satisfaction, like, oh, these sets are so good, but it's still
it's always a story, it's always that story about something, rather than just the experience of it.
Yeah, it's that Alan Watts quote, isn't it? What is this about? Zen spirituality isn't thinking about God while we're peeling potatoes, it's just peeling potatoes.
Yeah.
So it's like, being present isn't like thinking about washing dishes, it's just washing dishes. And what pulls you out is the thinking or the conversation, whether good or bad, whether it's gripey or love, you know, love, it's a conversation.
Yeah, I was thinking about potatoes. You know, my experience is that if I can focus on the potatoes, it's like a portal.
It's
like the breath.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking for God, but if I look really closely at the potatoes, I'm transported, right?
And so, to throw another quote at you, but what you just said was the Thomas Merton one, that the whole world is transparent and God is shining through everything all the time, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like right there in the potatoes, right there in the water.
But if I'm looking for God,
then you're an eye looking for
so
what's absolutely transparent. Yeah, exactly. Because I will never see God.
It, right. It just sees, oh, I need to scrub a little harder.
Yeah. Or my
potato has a... That's got a bad... That's a bad potato.
Because it will always... Because that's its nature. To find the dissatisfaction and happy, you know, seeking but not finding.
Yeah, that's just what it does.
It's just what it does.
No matter who's president, quite frankly. It's going to find something about this or that. This person shouldn't say that because, you know, it just gets louder and more obvious. And I don't know. We believe it. I don't know. I can only say for me that I believe it more strongly when, when there's a big wrong thing. Kind of like what you was talked about earlier. But wait a minute. We're never supposed to believe any of it.
It never really serves us to believe any of it.
And then we will know what to do. But not if we believe it.
Yeah.
It tells me, if you just listen to me, I'll point out what's right and wrong, and then you'll know what to do. But then what happens? It blocks me from it. He has me doing pretty unfortunate things when I listen to it.
Yeah, well, all of us, actually. And I think that, you know, to me, that's why Sherry is so always hammering with us to get out of the conversation. Because as you pointed out, that's where it always starts. conversation that slide over into identity land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm just really grateful for practice, and that place that we've been talking about, or that Sherry said, that nothing's changed,
uh-huh.
and that the daily radio shows really offer us a practice of seeing what's possible, mm-hmm. you know, or a portal to compassion I just heard, and I just see, like, that's what we're, so nothing's changed, there's always been greed, hate, and delusion. And it seems, you know, when we look at the people who have passed on this practice, nothing's changed in terms of our opportunity to practice choosing the life we want to live. Mm-hmm. You know, choosing to see it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And what's so fun is it's just so clear to me that, you know, what's quote happened in our country with the election is an opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just sort of, and that's not always been true that I would look at something like that in that way.
Uh-huh.
But it's, and I was just looking at all of the, grateful are all the training that's allowed that perspective to be so clear.
Yeah. Gosh, really, yeah. Grateful to have all of the training that has allowed this new, kind of a new perspective to emerge about what's going on in the world in this case, that, oh, it's really an opportunity. This is an opportunity. I might not have seen that way.
Yeah.
And as you say, having the exact same perspective around practice, that's really where it's rooted.
Yeah. When I was at property, I went to go see another person about my foot, and the doctor's basically, this is an ongoing thing for a couple of years, and he was just saying, well, and if you could, you know, have anything with this, what would you want? And the first thing that came, I heard come out of my mouth was, I just want to continue to see this as an opportunity. Like, you know, I had it recorded, so I got to hear it back. Just this really earnestness. And later he was like, yeah, nobody says that. They just want to come in and have this thing.
Fix it.
Yeah. And, you know, we see that with lots of events, including the election, all that kind of thing. Like, how do we fix this?
Yeah.
And I just last night and this morning, that place, you know, Sharon, we needed this book called What Universe Are You Creating? Again, pointing at that we can... that we get to choose where our attention is and thus our experience of life. Which, you know, almost saying that out loud, like, you can't choose your experience. You know, you could just hear, what? That's crazy. But just watch that last night. Like, every night I do a daily evening review. And I'm on there and I just start with, like, you know, what worked today? What did I do? All the things I was grateful for. You know, everything that happened that just was fun. And I'm in the recording, and by the time I get to my hermitage, I can just feel this, like, you know, stuff. You could feel this, like, resistance. And then I just heard the mentor just say, just let it go. Mm-hmm. And I just put the recorder in the middle of the room and just vented. And then there's this, and then there's that, and I'm never, and my brother, and, you know, just like, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, it was almost that place where it's in the right hand,
uh-huh.
and it's just let it all go. But there's also a witnessing presence, you know, at the same time. And there's a place where I'm in the right hand where I'm kind of disidentified, like I can step out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the mentor's like, just keep going. Because that's happened where it cuts it off.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so it's like all this stuff got out. There's the witnessing presence. And then I did another daily evening review because now I was completely free to talk about everything that I'm grateful for, everything that, you know. And then I made like a recording, like I always do for the morning. You know, good morning, I love you. And I have these love letters from TINW, from There's Nothing Wrong With You, that I read into the recorder every morning. And I read a thing out of there, out of What Universe You're Creating, about gratitude. And gosh, that there's my life. Mm-hmm. Acceptance, guidance, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like... wow. So from that place, everything does seem like an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
From an identified place, it does not look like an opportunity.
Yeah.
But what we're training, or what I see myself training myself to do, or being trained to do, really, is to live from that place of larger awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I think the advertisement for the morning shows is something about another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that largest perspective that we can train to live from.
Yeah.
And there's this really amazing tool that helps us do that.
Yeah. And the willingness to go with it. So what you're, you know, that whole scenario that you just laid out about putting the recorder in the middle of the room and then letting it vent, letting yourself, you know, letting that part of you, whatever, just say whatever's going on and get out there. And then the mentor coming in, you know, right after that, and keep going. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, keep doing that. And then making the gratitude recordings afterwards.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah. Because there's so much gratitude from that place of just the way you laid that out, just that love. Because that is what happens where it's like, but I'm fine now, or that's enough.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, so much of what covers up that is, I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
I should be grateful. You know, like...
I can even make a list.
I can make a list of grateful things.
I'm grateful.
I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that.
This worked. Yeah, this was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and that's what's so amazing about that relationship with the mentor is it's tailored directly to what this person needs.
Yeah.
You know, this person needs to let go and let that continue to get out, not put it back together and look good and I'm
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah. And and the act of encouragement to do that.
Yes.
And the willingness on the part of the practitioner to do it.
Yeah, it's so amazing. I mean, that's where you get that large perspective of what we are.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? I can be I can be the one who's like, the world is mirroring, you know, that, and I can be just like the silent, compassionate witness, and I can be the, it's okay, keep going, like, and just moving, or I'm like all of those things at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, wow.
Yeah, and there's a witnessing of all that, so
maybe
I'm not even any of those, I'm a witness, and then I can witness that, witnessing that,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And so it's like the awareness just keeps expanding larger and larger and larger.
Yeah.
To where we're none of, we're the awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh. It's just fun too because it brings you into that place of non-separation the way you just said that. You know, there isn't, I don't know. It's like, okay, I'm not karmic conditioning, but I'm not even really like the mentor either. Like I'm not, which is all of that, you know?
Yeah.
And I got to watch that in a dream last night too, where I had this amazing, just briefly, experience since I've been here, especially the first year, where people, like the most important people in my life, especially from like high school on, had just appear in my dream, and they appear as like their best selves, like the thing that I love most about them. And I had another one of those last night. And I was doing a recording about it this morning, and it was like, well, they're not here. You know, it was just so clear that it was a projection.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking at, like, from what place is that projection occurring? Because these people were doing all these lovely things, mm-hmm. and they're also doing some things that, like, weren't as lovely. But it was all lovely, because there was someone there witnessing it with love.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm all of that. I'm the lovely things, I'm the annoying things, I'm that which is present to all, you know, it's just, there's something wonderful about not dividing and seeing that that we're everything.
Yes, that we're everything. And as you started out, in that place of we're everything, there are all kinds of opportunities.
There's all kinds of opportunities because everything is accepted. I don't have to resist. Well, I don't like that part about myself, but this is okay. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to do that.
There's nothing to fix, as you were talking
There's
about with your
fix.
Friends. I just want to live in the opportunity.
Yeah.
I just want to live in the possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, and well, nobody ever says that, but you experience it.
Yes.
Over and over.
And it's modeled for me in practice over and over. We get to see that on that radio show over and over.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seeing the beautiful hummingbird on that card just reminded me that I keep seeing a hummingbird over the rosemary bush by the pond in this really freezing weather.
Mm-hmm.
I keep being so surprised, are you out in this weather?
Yeah. Have you forgotten it's winter?
Yeah, I just hadn't imagined that was possible, but there it is, tiny and hardy and
surprising.
Yes. Yeah. I I've got this workshop at the moment of some things going on around an upcoming trip across the pond. Mm-hmm. And what's going on with it this morning is that there's like an experience of the heart opening and this message coming in of, it's going to be so painful to leave when you're there. It's going to be, you know, the message is, you know, too painful, or you won't be able to stand it, or, you know, don't go and see that person because it will be so painful. And it was just like, wow, I'm glad that I'm getting to see that on the cushion here before I go, because it's just another form of, you know, a reason to close the heart. And like all of those conversations on the morning radio shows about, you know, experiencing ourselves as, you know, ego clinging to the moment, trying to control the moment, trying to, you know, and or being controlled by how we feel and that we won't be able to stand it and all like that. And it's just amazing, to see it showing up in this way, and just such an opportunity to practice that unconditional love and practice being as here as I can be with every person and place. And
And getting told that it's the specific feeling that you're not going to want to feel in the future, you know, like, okay, so don't do this, or don't go see them, or, ooh, it's going to be so bad, and, ooh, you've been getting that information dropped in while you're on the, okay, that's the feeling that it's saying I should avoid.
Yes.
And then getting on through the radio show and everything, all of this other information that, okay, that's not real.
That's ego.
That's ego, yeah. And that we don't need to fear what we feel, but that is the fear, right? Mm-hmm. What we're gonna feel, and there you're getting to see ego just kind of show its hand.
Yeah, really, and try and make a life small.
Yeah,
you know, just seeing that in action to close down. And I'm gonna load up my iPod with as many of those calls as it can take for the trip, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just,
as a way to remember to what that.
Well, all of the things that I'm choosing, unconditional love, presence, and. Because it really is that clinging and controlling, like, well, I don't know if I'll see any of these people again. It's that, you know, I love you as much as I've ever loved anybody, and it's okay if I never see you again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the presence of unconditional love in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just.
Yeah, that's a really good point, isn't it? That when so you're going to load up and be really, you know, focused on what you want for your life, what you're choosing, which is the open-heartedness.
The process plan.
Yeah, process plan. That if you want, that you choose the open heart, you choose the process. You choose to live in the process.
Yeah.
It's like that we were just talking about. I just want this to be an ongoing opportunity.
Right.
That's my life, right?
Right.
And so to have that supporting Anna as she takes that trip, and then watch, because, you know, it's likely ego's not going to stop, you know, here. but we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to see this person, or if we're going to see him again. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
And so why would we want to follow the advice of ego to close the heart, protect against what it is making up,
right,
rather than living in that wholehearted participation and living in the process.
Yeah.
Which is what you choose.
Absolutely, yeah. So definitely going to make a recording today about that, because that same process is going to be, you know, running, and just so grateful for the gift of being shown it today.
Yes. Yeah.
In such a clear way.
Yeah. So, really, to practice, to make the recordings today, I think I'll start the open-hearted process of plan now. We don't need to wait till the trip. We don't need to wait till, because it's going on now.
Yeah, it's just
moment.
just, it's just working with this particular content.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Pick a set up and it'll get your attention and it'll...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
So much of this is resonating with me. The story that comes to my mind is the Zen master receives the disciple, and the disciple, and the Zen master says to him, "Well, have you had your breakfast?" And he said, "Yes." And he goes, "Well, you should wash your dishes." And he gets it. The disciple gets it. It's like, and so the words, or the phrase that's been kind of running through my mind, two phrases actually. One is, "If not this, what?" Like, if not this, what I'm doing right now, then what's gonna flip that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so having that focus of practicing the process of presence with everything, because I don't know what will create the opportunity to, you know, see past it all to reality.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a way of saying it.
Yeah. So if not this, what? And if not now, when? Because that really points to, this is really all there is. This is it. And so I doesn't know what will, you know, it sounds like the process that you're describing it does is, it sort of points to, well, something else, something is going to flip the switch and then everything will be different, or something's
right.
going to happen, and
right.
and then we'll, you know, whatever that in that would be, you know, the promise would be, but it doesn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it thinks it's going to be something big.
Well, or it says it will, because that
yeah.
will get your attention
yeah.
away
yeah.
from the
away
this
from
here.
Dishes or
yeah.
breakfast
yeah.
or what, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And along those lines, conditioning, you know, just loves to plan and say, well, this is what today is going to be like, and this is what tomorrow is going to be like, and this, you know, and I just, my phraseology is now just, we'll see, we'll see,
yeah.
we'll see, you know,
yeah.
we don't know.
So not resisting it, not arguing, well, you don't actually know what's going to be
right.
because we never know, you know, getting into a conversation.
Right, right, the
that.
Philosophical, yeah.
Right. Or not believing it, certainly not believing it, that yeah, yeah. every day is like every other day. Yeah. But just, well,
yeah.
we'll see. That's
yeah.
that beautiful middle way.
Yeah.
No resistance and not buying it. Just, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. So, which leads me to the other little piece that's been dropping in the idea of we'll see. So when I first got here for the first like 10 days, just lit up and excited about being here and everything, and then, I don't know, it could have been the 3 days of rain, it could have been, you know, anything that sort of put me in a place where Friday night I went back to the Hermitage, and let's see, how do I describe this? Everything that happened, like, over those couple of days, every reminder note, every silence, and I've gotten several reminder notes, by the way. But all the silence, all the, as conditioning put it, Zen kindness. It's in quotes. Zen kindness. You know, took all of it, like, you know, and the beauty of the property and the great food and everything, and put it, like, in these little, like, china jars, cups and saucers and, you know, all this stuff. And then conditioning just went, and just smacked them, you know, like, just like, mm-hmm. you know, that place of just, not keeping a lid on it anymore. And just being able to let go what was kind of pointed out before. And that being okay. Of just being frustrated and being, I don't even know if I can say angry, but maybe there was, I have no idea, but just a place where it just boiled to, okay, I can't be Zen nice anymore. I just can't. You know, I gotta, you know, smash some things and break some things up. And
yeah. And that being, that, so that really sort of letting that emerge. Oh,
yeah.
Maybe there was no letting, it just emerged, right? Yeah. It just went poof,
yeah,
blowing through. None of that Zen nice anymore. None of that, you know, silence and all the good food, all of that, get that out, and just kind of pushing against that.
Yeah.
And that being okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, you know, growing up, there was only one person in my household that could show anger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was the adult, so so we didn't have that luxury or that ability. And I go to places where, I mean, this, so watching when I used to watch reality TV show, which not the typical ones, but more like Dog Whisperer, and sort of the mm-hmm. ones that were really aimed at like trying to help people. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the nanny shows, I watched it a couple times, and the nanny was like to the parents, let the kid be angry, mm-hmm. or let them be sad, let them cry. Because the mother kept trying to go, oh, no, don't cry, you know, oh, no, let's do, you know. And not even like changing attention or directing attention, but more just don't do that. That yeah. makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was my projection, you know, the mom was just like, I'm so uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
And so it was just that, it's just that place. I think that's, it's that place that finally I get a safe environment
yeah.
here, or even just with the recorder and with the mentor, and you yeah. know, even at home, just but here especially, to just be able to
yeah
to
there's do, somebody to there that shows up
yeah
in you, that's you, you know, this adult, this compassionate mentor who's saying, no, let her be frustrated, let
yeah.
her be angry,
yeah,
let her be sad, whatever,
and bring. Break the things.
Yes, break these little
what
child.
Are they anyway? Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, there's this cherishing, like wanting to keep things from being broken, and maybe it goes to yet another quote. You know, may my heart be broken open so that it never shuts to love again. I mean, it's just, it's that place. Of,
yeah.
Or one of the Rumi poems. Oh my God, break the water jars.
Oh yeah, smash them.
Yeah. Oh my God. Just smash them. So.
Yes. And there is the experience of getting to live in that experience. That.
Yeah.
That experience.
And that I'm adequate to it. Mm-hmm. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong. Yeah. And it will pass.
Yeah. But it's here now.
But it's here now.
And you
enjoy it.
You really fully experience yeah. it. Yeah. You're adequate. Yeah. Exactly. Or it wouldn't be here.
Let's see. Well, I just in that conversation, I was just thinking of the. I can't remember. I wish I could remember the verb that the. At least in this one translation I've heard of, the Buddha talking about demolishing the ridgepoles and the rafters. Mm-hmm. Of the way I hear it is, using the structure of a house as the metaphor for identity, and. Kind of coming through that period of sitting under the Bodhi tree with that, I'm not getting up until I see through this thing, and through that period of time, I've destroyed the ridgepoles and the rafters. Mm-hmm. So that house cannot be built again. And I just was hearing that in that image of, you know, no, those are beautiful, don't destroy those.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that much bigger perspective that it feels like Zen or practice offers us, and we don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe destroying those is exactly the thing.
Yes.
Right? Because what's keeping them, what's so precious about those? What's keeping those in place?
Yeah. To really, to destroy it on that level, you know, that energy, mm-hmm. the ridgepoles and the raptor, mm-hmm. it's done.
Yeah.
And to have that sort of go, you know, willingness to go with that.
Yeah.
You know, in not try to preserve or protect or decide or all of that. What gets to stay and what doesn't?
It all knows. Yeah. I think the thing I was saying when I put up my hands earlier was around the conversation about, I can't remember what, anyway, what came up for me, and it was just that place of how we were trained to, we were looking at this the other night, trained to, you know, love particular people or particular relationships or, like, those people are, significant in my life or at that place. And that conversation helped me to look at an experience I recently had where I was seeing people who were pretty significant in my life and I haven't had really any contact with for well over a decade, and got to spend some time with a number of them, and it was such a lovely experience, and it was amazing because in just about every case it was like almost no time had passed. And I was aware of kind of, again, that place of, I don't know if I'll ever see these people again, really. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But just that that sense of, it feels like life puts particular things in our path so that we can experience the process. Mm-hmm. Do you know? Mm-hmm. Because it's really quite random. But these people are the ones who I could go and stay at their house. In that, right? Why not this person? You know that if that person had ended up going to the college that I went to, and we took the same class. It's completely random.
Yeah.
And yet it does seem like there's a way of delighting that's the portal, that has been offered to us to experience the process.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fun the perspective that you're putting out there, that there's just this randomness to whatever happens, whatever it is that comes up that we're given the opportunity to experience. But to see that as that, that this is just what life is putting in my path to practice with this process, with this experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, as you said that, so two things have been helpful about it. One was I started to catch on that in the last hours before I'd be leaving one situation and going to another, the same set of sensations would arise that were, I think, the meaning that was supposed to go with them was a loss. And then kind of a convert this? How do I keep something? So this experience is so lovely, how am I gonna maintain it? And it's like, I'm not, because it's not gonna be maintained in the thing, it's gonna be maintained in the process, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, it's sort of like, how am I going to keep going with this? I mean, given my life circumstances, well, I don't need to, right? I think that's the beginning of the clinging to the river, right? Holding on to it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you would say this, but there then kind of becomes a someone who wants to hold on to this because, it was so lovely. And so it turns the process into a content.
Exactly.
And then we gotta put them in little china jars or whatever, to preserve them, or to keep them, or to be able to revisit them, or recreate them, or do something with them, because they are a something after all.
Yeah.
And so there it was. You got to watch that whole process arise. And what dropped in was, no, we're not gonna recreate this.
Yeah. As you were saying that, the image that dropped in is like being on the shore and, a beautiful shell or rock, washes in. And it's the difference between putting them all on my shelf or just delighting in it and throwing it back into the ocean. And then the next one comes. And then just, as someone said, loving it as much as you've ever loved any shell ever. And then just throwing it back into the ocean.
And being open then to whatever else the tide's going to bring you.
Exactly. Because that does make us open to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas having it all on the shelf, at least for me, you know, it's that like paralysis of like options. You know, oh my God, they're all so good. And what should I make a collage out of them? Or should I, you know,
I only have so much space on my shelf. Now I got to choose. And not only that, but now I'm going to be looking at my shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
Not at the ocean.
The ocean, exactly, exactly. So the other process I've seen through it is kind of the, I don't quite know how I described it last night. I had one of those experiences other people have been describing. I'm just like, all right, here it is, you know, kind of, there's this and that, and whatever, you know, and seeing that everywhere I go, there I am. So this illusion that if I had made different choices or my life looked a certain way, or then, you know, this would be true or that would be true, and to really, really realize that's not true. Mm-hmm. That it gives such a freedom to allow me to just relax and be here and see through the process in this.
Yeah.
And realize that wherever, whatever, you know, the word I was using is random, which is probably not a very good word, it's probably not random at all, I don't know. But wherever life puts me, whatever, whoever life puts with me, whoever, whatever I'm in proximity to, whatever, there, that's the place.
Yeah.
That's the place to both practice the process that I want and to see through the process that conditioning attempts to manipulate me with.
Yeah. It strikes me that what you're describing is it is sort of what it means to be an incarnation in a sense, because you are going to be in some proximity to something.
Yeah.
You know, at any given moment,
and it gets infinite where that could be.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It
yeah.
is infinite.
Yeah.
And so, but this is the one. This
yeah.
is it here now in this situation.
Yeah.
And so, what the process of conditioned mind to say, well, but if I had been there, or if I had been this, or what if I? It just sort of starts cherry picking from all those infinite possibilities and creating this illusion. But what you're seeing is that there's a way to come back to know this,
yeah.
which is this, you know, this,
mm-hmm.
this, that really allows you to be in the process
mm-hmm.
of presence,
mm-hmm.
I guess, or I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think on one of the radio shows the other morning, there was that reference to every molecule is the center of the universe,
uh-huh.
right? So it's funny, it's such an irony, right? Because ego is trying to make me the center of the universe or make itself the center of the universe by doing that process of insanity, of
yeah.
like cherry picking the this and it could be this way, and if I could just choose the right set of things, right? That's the conditioned process of the center of the universe instead of realizing it's impossible not to be the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just standing here and fully being here, you know, if not this, what?
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. Has to be.
Yeah. That is so good. And it's so good. It's so an apt use of the word insanity, isn't it? Because it's like,
it's such insanity.
It's 20 years.
It's torture.
Yes, it's torture.
Yeah.
Pull. To have such a pull to try to take the being out of perfection, out of here.
To keep us from the obviousness that this is the center of the universe.
Yes.
And then talk to us about that.
Yeah. To keep us from the obvious perspective that it is the center of the universe and talk us into some kind of other delusion.
Yeah, to talk to us about it, which is the making
yeah.
it an abstraction.
Yeah, making it
an
abstraction.
Which is such a perfectly, it's the tiniest little movement and it's such a coup,
mm-hmm.
right? To use the exact same thing
mm-hmm.
to take us from the experience of something to the idea of it. It means back to the potatoes, right?
Yeah. Ooh, that's
looking
big.
For God in the potato, which is making it the abstraction instead of just the potato, which is it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, using the exact same thing to make it an abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
Take us away from that and make it an abstraction.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. It is a coup. I know, it really makes you shudder at this.
Yeah.
That's good to see. And Elizabeth Rodman.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just sort of catching up. And because how often do I get a chance to talk?
Twice a week.
So I think Sometimes I wonder if I'm trying to form my, when we have these times, am I forming my experiences into really like a storyline, you know, something to talk about, you know? And the truth is, I think I'm just sharing because I'm like, I get a chance to share, like I should share, like, so, you know, I've heard both voices saying, just sit here, you don't really have anything to share. And then it's like, were you going to give up a chance? But anyway, something that's been happening, something that I've experienced probably in the last 24 hours is, so I have been focusing on this idea of being right, you know, and I'm seeing a lot of different things. But one of the things that seems to be happening for me is, first of all, you can't be right here. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't, you know, there's times you can be right. It just, like, it's too complicated. You just can't do it, right? So I get a lot of chances to see that process. And where I'm at now is I'm seeing, like, well, there are no answers, neither this way nor that way, and that it really doesn't matter. And that if there is one principle, the principle is what is the, you know, so I just think so much of this is so funny because, like, it's like, oh, I have a new awareness. Oh, it's the exact same awareness I had 6 months ago. It's the same thing. It's even the same word, you know, it just somehow seems different. And, you know, so if the principle is, you know, am I bringing kindness to it? Do I follow the guidelines because they're guidelines, or do I follow the guidelines because it's an opportunity to show respect and kindness for whatever has been decided? And my thought is, it's certainly much better to do it the second way. And I think also what's happening is that as I'm loosening up on this concept of being right, there's less of, like, there's still tons and tons of conversation constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like constantly like, now I'm saying shut up to myself all the time. But in that, my emotional state seems to be, like, it was that way in the beginning, and then it seemed to be calm. Everything seemed to be fine. Now it's just like, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. Hour to hour, it's like anything could happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it means I'm getting a little more present focused. Mm-hmm. And like yesterday, we were doing trimming, and I was told to bring two pair of calipers or clippers or whatever. I can't even remember what you call them. You know, the clippers. And I was like, why am I bringing two? So I asked them, I was like, no, bring two. I was like, okay, I brought two. And then I was so annoyed by that because I was like, oh, every time I clip something, I have to put this down. I have to, you know, and I was annoyed, right? And then whatever, so, you know, and then the voices were like, well, you know, you asked, you got a confirmation, end of story, shut up. Get on with it, right? That didn't quite work. I wasn't really on with it. But I did remember to just, you know, when you have this bad conflict, that you can distract your attention. I'm like, it's really beautiful out here. So then I got into started noticing the pine trees, and I'm like, they're so amazing. Uh-huh. I mean, they're so perfectly straight. Where I'm from, they're not, like, perfectly straight, you know? and all I could think of is they were highly coveted in sailing days, for the mastheads of ships, American pine, because they're straight and tall and it's amazing. So anyway, and then I had a bit of grace. There wasn't a lot of trimming to do, so I got to walk all the way back, and there's nothing to do except look around. And it was sunset, and I was just like on top of the world, and everything felt fabulous. Completely forgot about the clippers, whatever, you know, gone, right? So I'm just feeling fantastic, and I was all excited. I wanted to text about it, and I was like, oh, we don't text anymore. Okay. All right. So, and then I came into the thing and I had a horrible sit, meaning that it was very painful. Like, I had in the beginning of the week, I had a posture check and it was great. It's like I didn't have any pain for some days. Then I started getting pain in my neck. Then, and yesterday I had pain in my neck, my back, and I was just like, I get to a point where then I'm just like twisting myself like a pretzel trying to make it stop, and it just traveling all over the place. I was so miserable, I was like, I was miserable. As soon as dinner was over, I'm like, I'm going back to my hermitage, I'm just going straight back there, and I'm jumping in bed, and I don't care, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly what I did. I get there, and I get in bed, and, of course, I can't sleep. I'm laying there. I'm not thinking, fortunately, I kept thinking, I wanted to be upset and angry, because the voices said, if you can't even do the most basic thing of this practice, which is sit on a pillow, how are you going to do this? And I still don't have an answer to that, but my mind is racing about other things, so fortunately I'm leaving it. And I said to myself, I just guess I can't sleep, I guess I'll have to get up. I got up, I don't even know what I did. I turned and went to bed, I immediately fell asleep.
You know, can I jump in there on that? Because gosh, what you're describing in each of those scenarios, what I'm seeing anyway, the process that I wanted to reflect is the directing of the attention, or the redirecting of the attention. So both with the loppers or the clippers, the conversation, the annoyance and all that, ooh, beautiful pine trees, you know? And then sitting and not being able to sleep, and then getting up, moving the attention to something else, and then being able, to go back to sleep. So it's like, finding oneself in the throes of the voices, and there they are, and they're griping about this, or they're loving that, or they're whatever they're doing, right? But they're doing something. And then redirecting the attention to what is here right now in front of you, the sunset, the pine trees, the food, the pain, whatever it is, to be there. What we're doing here, this is just an ego maddening chamber, right? because as you started out with, there is no way that ego is ever going to get it right here. It's just not the way it's set up to satisfy or placate or reward ego in any way. And so what we get the opportunity to practice in what you're describing in many of those scenarios is, okay, ego shows up, is maddened, or is something is really acting out or yelling or whatever, attention's there, and then something else, then something else becomes available to redirect the attention.
Yeah. And the other thought I had about it is that, so the conditioning always, there's a storyline, and it projects out to the future.
Yeah.
So like when I had the clippers, it was like this 2 hours of drudgery, up and down, picking this thing up and down, up and down. It didn't work out that way at all. It's, for whatever reason, and really I was like, I couldn't believe it. It's like, it looks like someone already did this. Like, I didn't understand, but I was, thrilled, right?
Yeah.
And, right? And then like, my back, the truth is, when I sit, my back really hurts. When I leave here 5 minutes later, it goes away.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying to myself, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone, and then the conditioning is like, no, but it's going to come back the next time you sit there,
yes,
and it's like, but it's gone, it's all a lot of conversation, but at least the conversation is turning in a better direction as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yes, and you're seeing it. Which is everything.
Right, and then the sleeping, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to sleep now. Well, 3 minutes later, asleep.
Yeah, as we're fond of saying, ego lies.
Yeah, lies.
Yeah.
So I guess what my takeaway from all of that is that, that things happen. It's not a continuous storyline the way conditioning wants.
Yeah.
And that emotions can change all the time, and then finally, the importance of it, which is related to the storyline, is much lower than conditioning says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's going to be up and down all over the place, and if I just enjoy the ride, it would be a lot easier.
Oh, that's so true. We can just enjoy the ride, so much easier. Enjoy it with that kindness and compassion that you're talking about. Yeah, thank you. Thank you all.